stream flowing or going the opposite way, east to west, unlike what we have in the north, west to east kind of thing. So that's what I'm just guessing. That's the only science I can offer. Go ahead, Emil.
Yeah, very good. Well, Henry, your balloon, if you check your notes there, it's actually day 450, because it's 3 days after I reported this. So 450 days, it probably went around the Earth, I would dare say, some 60 sometimes. I'd have to look at the other charts to find out exactly. So yeah, your balloon went around about 60 sometimes already there, Henry, over.
You know, Emil, when you say that, it blows my mind how anything so fragile can go that long. I mean, it has to put up with blistering cold, hot, well, heat in some cases, but way up there, there's a lot of cold, and the electronics really take a beating between sunlight and a lot of darkness, especially in the northern hemisphere at this time of year. Okay, well, interesting. 3 days, 1 hour since the last beacon. So I'm going to guess that it's probably, well, it could be coming close to my area. Go ahead, Lewis, take it.
Oh, roger that. Well, there's not really much more I can add to what you guys are talking about. That's not something I can really comment. Only that I'll tell you guys a funny anecdote. I guess when I was about I was in junior high at the time. Let me roll back the clock here a bit. I was in junior high, so that was around 1965-ish, somewhere around there, yeah. And, we did something. They weren't Pico balloons or wasn't anything like that because, you know, no solar panels or, you know, beacons, anything. Let me pause. So anyway, what we did is we, in the science class, we took these, polyethylene or whatever they are, these real thin things they put over clothes, or I don't know if they still do it, but they would put over, like, if you took your clothes to the dry cleaners, they'd kind of put this real thin plastic, sort of a gossamer plastic over it. And so what we did in the science class is we just, you know, took one of those and tied off one end, filled the other end with natural gas, methane from the science lab, where, you know, where we hooked up the Bunsen burners and stuff. And then we just put a postcard on it and launched it. And we got a couple of them back. They didn't go that far. I mean, I think we got one. I was in San Antonio at the time. And we got one from Nixon, Texas, I think, which was about 50 miles away. But that'd be a hard find, you know, for somebody to actually, when it went down, to find the balloon and the card. So anyway, I got the bright idea that I would try that myself. So what I did is I pulled the stove and disconnected the stove from the gas and filled up one of those things and launched. Well, my parents found out about it, and my dad, he didn't have any issue with the corporal punishment, so I got my butt whipped and got grounded for quite some time for pulling that stuff, which, you know, was obviously pretty dangerous, but... Anyway, I thought you might appreciate that anecdote. KC5RJL.
Yeah, I'm not sure who you sent it to there, Lewis. I'll take it. Another remarkable thing I see here, Henry, is I got 2,800 views on my YouTube for that launch. Speaking of launch, I got a word from Adrian and Scott that that their balloon is almost ready for launch. They're going to be going on 900 megs, and they're going to have slow scan TV. And apparently every 30 seconds we should get some sort of a picture. So looking forward to that, very excited about that that liftoff there, to say the least. Back to you there, Henry. And I'll try to find out how many loops around the Earth your balloon actually did there, Henry. Over.
Yeah, okay, Emil. And this balloon being sent up with that's capable of slow scan TV, will it it won't be one that'll do laps around the world. It'll just go up kind of thing and come back down. Am I correct? Back to you, Emil.
Yeah, this is a high-altitude balloon. It's go up. I'm not sure if it's going to go up 15 kilometers or 40 kilometers or whatever. It'll go up till the balloon bursts, I guess, and it'll come down. And there's going to be an APRS tracker on it, so we should be able to find the payload once it arrives to the ground there. Over. But it still should be interesting to see the quality of the pictures there. Over.
Yeah, okay, excellent. Well, if you send me the call sign or address to the balloon, I'd like to see it on APRS.fi. That should be interesting. And, Lewis, playing with gas is really dangerous. So you should have done like me when I was in early high school. I made gunpowder. That was more interesting. I used to make my own homemade bombs and that. Nothing serious, of course. But today, if I'd have got caught with that today, I'd probably be up. I'd be up on some kind of charge. Go ahead, Lewis.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, just, you know, everything we used to do back then, good gosh, I don't even want to go into the things I did in what I call my misspent youth, but, you know, that's when I guess boys were boys. I don't know. You know, some people may take offense at that, but, yeah, we did some pretty wacky stuff, but, you know, I guess it's, you know, we survived it, and, you know, yeah, I could, you know, my wife and I, we never had children for a lot of reasons. There's not really any biological issue. It's just a matter of I had just gotten out of dental school at 33 and she was in her 20s and was working on her CPA. So we, by the time we could afford children, we were just kind of didn't want to have them because, you know, we were like at the peak of our careers and it would have been a major disruption. But yeah, kids today, I don't think get to experience a lot of the things that we did. I don't know. I'm not trying to make a moral judgment about how people are, you know, raising children or social changes. Let me pause. That's a whole other topic that probably really shouldn't be discussed over the radio because you get into a lot of political and other, you know, things that most people don't find particularly interesting. It doesn't really have anything to do with what, you know, radio and technology and stuff, but anyway. But we did some pretty wacky stuff for sure to make it short and sweet. But anyway, yeah, I did get the email from Adrian, and I didn't really have a chance to read through it. It just was titled something about the launch of their balloon. But Yeah, they're, I mean, they do it from the ground up. I think, Emil, I think you asked, or somebody asked, Scott and Adrian approximately how much it costs to do one of their balloons, and I think they said around $400, somewhere around 400-ish Canadian, so I guess that would be about 300 U.S. dollars, which is not, you know, terrible amount of money for a hobby. I've got much more expensive hobbies than that, but yeah, pretty interesting stuff. We'll just see how it goes. But yeah, having that slow scan TV on there and getting periodic images would be really interesting. I just hope it can, you know, stay up for more than you know, a few days. They've kind of had, you know, hit and miss on their balloons. Some of them have done really well, and I think last year one of them only made it to like Colorado and went down. Back to you, or there was one that didn't even make it that far. I think it went up and just immediately came down. They were able to recover. Yeah, it was in a tree because Adrian was asking me about drones and if they could use a drone to get it. I don't know how they got it down, but back to you, Emil. VU1EP from KC5RJ on the route.
Yeah, very good, Lewis. Yeah, that was the 7NFR-11, I believe. It landed in Montana. We actually had a rescue team to schedule to go and get it. It was still beaconing, I think, even weeks after it landed in a tree. We assumed it landed in a tree because we had the coordinates. The GPS said that it was at a high elevation. And I guess the solar panel was facing the sun. And, of course, when there was no sun, it wasn't beaconing. So that's why we figured it was up into the tree. And I think they picked up quite a wind, and we never picked it up from then. Even if you went to look at it, you'd be looking for a needle in a haystack there. Back to you there, Henry. I can't keep it. I got 200 balloons I got to track there. I've been at the hospital and in the field trying to get some gardening done, so I better get my Pico. So 7-3 for now there, Randy and Lewis. I got to get to what I was doing. Over.
Yeah, okay, Emil. And 7-3 to you. And I've got to get out of here, too. What was I going to ask? I was going to ask Lewis something. Oh, yeah, Lewis, when David Crosby's mouth opened up for you to work on him, did you hear a song come out? Did you hear anything like Wooden Ships on the Water or Almost Cut My Hair? Over.
Negative. No, he was kind of a whiny patient. I don't. That's not a clinical term, but anyway, he was kind of he was a little bit whiny. But anyway, we got him fixed up. I mean, the extractions were fairly difficult because there wasn't much to work with. I mean, literally every tooth in his head was just, you know, I mean, it was rotten down to the root, and so I had to actually do like surgical extractions on him. So, but we got him fixed up. But no, nothing came out. Now he did perform for the other inmates. I know he had like performances and stuff, and that was really appreciated. I didn't get to attend any of that. The criminal justice system in Texas is really kind of weird, or it's more accountable than it used to be. I was kind of in that transition period. I don't want to go into all the politics of it, but there was something called the Ruiz decision that made the Department of Corrections more accountable for a lot of the abuses that took place prior to 1970. So anyway, but yeah, he got out. I think he pretty much got clean, and you know, he's still kicking from what I gather. Let me pause. Who else did we lose this week besides there were two major, oh gosh, who was it? Maybe you can remember, Henry. We lost, who was it? I can't remember, but anyway, two quotes.